going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit MensTClinic.com. That's MensTClinic.com.
And he swings, hits a dribbler, third base side, tough chance. Jackson bare hands, throws wild, and throws it down the right field line. Ramos on his way to second base, and he will turn for third. Here's the long throw to third. He's safe at third. The ball gets away. He's headed for the plate, and he scores without a throw. And the Giants have won it on a walk-off Little League home run.
You're an idiot, and you don't know baseball.
Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
Eric Nadel with a call in a game you heard right here. We are the home of Texas Rangers baseball. The Rangers scored two runs in each of the three games in San Francisco this weekend. They should have scored a lot more. They walk away with just the one win. They lose the final two games of the series, and they lose on an preposterous play.
I mean, it's
yesterday late afternoon.
It's the Benny Hill theme playing in my head.
Yes,
when you watch that.
Who's Benny Hill?
Probably comedian.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, we had we did a cooking class in Florence.
Well,
and the guy who was the chef looked like a young Italian Benny Hill.
Oh. That's not a bad person to look like, I would imagine.
Yeah.
You get yourself recognized a little bit maybe there.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. So that was just an awful play. Like, you know, Luke Jackson gets the ball. The ball's a dribbler. It's a 55-foot swinging bunt. And Jackson just inexplicably tries to make a, you know, third baseman covering, getting a bunt type jump, a throw, leaning over. And that thing Berger didn't have a chance in hell at getting that ball.
No, it was a mess. The way that game ended was, and I still think it's.
And he didn't have to rush it either. He had time. I mean, he had so much time.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that you lost the game, no one was on base. And if you look at the box score and the way it's described, you lost on an infield single with no one on base.
You threw one pitch, the ball traveled 55 feet, and you lose the game.
I mean, that goes in the books as an infield single. Ramos reached on an infield single to the pitcher.
No, they didn't give him a – did they give him a hit on that?
Ramos reached on an infield single to the pitcher.
I thought they said
on throwing error by first baseman Berger.
Okay, I thought they said on the broadcast last night that he got two errors on the play. Surely they did not give him an infield single.
It's what I'm guessing it is he gets the infield single, and then he gets the two-base error. Like, that was he advanced on the error. So it was a single, advanced on the error, and then scored on the error. So I'm guessing that's where those two errors came from. Because, they have Jackson for a throw and Berger for a throw.
Yeah, so the throwing error. So Jackson had the throwing error. So,
but the single counts. They count him as getting an infield single because he.
And then they say
he picks up the two bases on the throw, and
so
then
he picks up the throwing error by Jackson was the two bases that throw,
and the throwing error by Berger was.
You cannot give him a hit on that. That's garbage.
In the last 10 days, Chop. In the last 10 days, the Texas Rangers have scored zero runs in games more times than they've scored four.
Ooh.
That's not good.
No, that's not good.
Now, look, it's starting to balance out a little bit better because, I mean, in some of these games...
I saw that sixth inning.
So, in some of these games where they've had their two-run performances and things like that, at least it's not one of these instances of they had three hits like they were doing earlier in the year. They picked up 10 hits yesterday. They've had some of these other games where it's like they didn't score, but they got nine hits. And so some of it has now just been about timely hitting and hitting with runners on base. But yeah, this has been a brutal stretch. You got to be glad that this road trip to the Bay Area is done because this was just an ugly stretch of games for them against the A. Well, I guess it's technically not the Bay Area now because it's Sacramento. It's
Sacramento.
But the A's and
ugly stretch, man.
And the Giants.
It's an ugly stretch. And you know, the sixth inning, the leadoff triple. If you want to call it that, you know. But then not to be able to get a guy home with nobody out and a runner on third, that's just not.
Yeah.
That's not going to work. That's not how you win games. That game was probably lost in that spot.
Yeah, but I mean, the fact that, all right, we got Jock Peterson to break his 0-for-41 streak on this trip, and then he had two hits yesterday, both of them extra base hits. Like, that's positive. We're going to stack good days on top of good days.
Man. Okay? Yeah, it's fantastic.
That's what we're doing.
That's what you got to do. That's what you got to get.
I still can't believe he has more than half of his hits on the season in the last five games.
Well, I mean, you go 0-for-42.
No, I know. It's a funny oddity that's even the case for him.
7:05, first pitch tonight, right here, 105 to the Fan. We'll have pregame at 6:30 as they host the Athletics. I hate that. I hate that they call them just the Athletics. Just call them Sacramento. Throw the city a bone for crying out loud.
How much have you been able to keep up with the Rangers while you were out?
What I saw on, like, you know, Instagram,
like, you would just
posts.
See, I'm guessing you'd see like box scores and different things like that.
Yeah, for the moment. I watched yesterday's game.
So
I think we got home around the fifth inning.
Are you starting to feel like you're getting that version of Wyatt Langford that you were projecting last year? Because that's the one dude who just continues to absolutely mash the ball. Like, no matter how else the rest of the offense is playing, he is just destroying the baseball.
He is
1106 OPS now.
I have a ticket on him at 40-1 to win the MVP. He's not going to get there. All right, I don't think he's going to get the MVP, but he is, like, to me, he is the best player on this team. And he is, at the end of the year, this will be his team. It won't be Seager's, won't be Simeon's. By the end of this year, it will be his team.
From a leadership perspective, I think it'll still be probably Simeon's. But, you know, I mean, he's somebody who, like, I mean, if you look at cumulatively on the team right now, they have, among position players, cumulatively, they have a 2.3 wins above replacement. And Wyatt Langford is 1.2 of that.
Say that again?
Cumulatively, they have a 2.3 wins above replacement. Wyatt Langford is 1.2 of it. Now, to be fair, Seager's also 1.4. But you've got guys like Berger, who's
negative
0.7. Simeon's negative 0.8. Jock Peterson, negative 0.9. But you're talking about those two have really kind of carried you at this point.
They have. It's Diamond Cavs here, 105 through the Fan. They did catch a break with Heim not snapping his shin bone foot on that foul ball. That Duval guy is a monster, throwing a 100-mile-an-hour cutter.
Duval.
Stop it. Stop. Is that Liam Cohen?
Yeah.
Stop it. They caught a break there. They caught an injury break.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, I mean, so far I will say that despite, you know, things have not obviously played out like completely to the way that you want to get, but I will say that when we say defensively, offensively, what you're getting right now, like the framing rate, I think, the numbers have been, they're not backed up to 23 levels for Heim yet, but he's better than he was in 24. So Heim's doing better there. And then when you look at what they've done at the plate, Heim and Higashioka, they're both hitting the ball hard. And the two of them are both in the positive range on wins above replacement at this point. So catcher's been a spot where you can feel good about things. And so, yeah, you definitely didn't want to lose Jonah Heim because that would have been the way that he's been playing. He's been good for you.
Tommy Pham has been suspended one game for, you know, that gesture that he made, for his gesture in the crowd. I guess they had to suspend him. I guess they had to, right? Did the commissioner.
I mean, Adam Silver wouldn't have. Adam Silver would have just been like, hey, buddy, how's it going?
I don't think the commissioner can have a player, you know, scratching the record in public.
No, but I'm just saying, like, we've got a clear history of Adam Silver just saying, like, you can make any gestures you want, and I'll warn you at first.
You think if somebody did that in an NBA game to a fan, they wouldn't suspend him?
Yeah, I mean, no, I don't think so. I mean, I think they'd fine him. I mean, what, Anthony Edwards just got fined $50,000 for, obviously different, but flipping somebody off and talking about your stuff ain't as endowed as mine.
Right.
And so, I mean, they've clearly just warned before. I don't know. I mean, Tommy Pham, I get it, because Tommy Pham is, he's a repeat offender, and that's somebody that the league's already been aware. But that was the argument the whole time with Ja Morant. Was they'd have, like, Ja's a repeat offender and should know better than to do
something. That's a good point.
Goofy. So.
Yeah, they don't touch Ja anymore. They're scared of him.
Yeah.
Probably scared. When Tommy Pham, he is the one guy, like, I would be terrified. If I was a fan, like, how you even touch him? Like, dude, don't put your hands on Tommy. Like, that is the one guy we know. We have enough receipts on Tommy that he is a tough dude. Like, I am not messing with him.
Two guys in Major League Baseball. Well, I was going to say in the history of Major League Baseball. Recent Major League Baseball. Three guys in the history of Major League Baseball come to mind of I would not want to mess with them.
Okay.
It's Tommy Pham.
Sure.
It's Keone Kella.
Yeah.
And it's Albert Bell. What?
The Fernando Vina, Albert Bell.
I don't
play.
Albert Bell is just, he's.
Payne, have you seen that? Do you know what play we're talking about?
The one where he runs him over at second
base?
Yes.
God.
Dude, it was just Albert Bell was, that was a screw loose.
I showed my kids that once and they were like, what happened? He did that? He really did that? And I'm like, yeah, man. He really ran that dude
totally
over.
Could have do it?
I did not. I did
he
not.
He should.
So I missed you know my kids' game when we were gone and they had a camera guy there, like it was the last game for the season. They had a camera guy there and they were taking pictures of like all the kids. And there's one. He hits a double and he gets to second base and he does the Danielson crane at second base.
Oh gosh.
I got a photo of this, it's amazing.
That's pretty good.
I love
it. It's also come on. Real quick, would you like some positive news, some good news for your Texas Rangers?
Yeah, let's do it.
Something that you can build on at the plate, Chop.
Yep.
It's just it's not at the major league level, which is the one thing that kind of sucks. Evan Carter has reached base every single game he has played for AAA Round Rock. So he started off really slow, and a lot of it was, okay,
he was batting like 114.
Right, but he would always draw a walk at least in one of these games, or he'd pick up a hit or whatever else. So he is.
That's good.
He's now really started to actually hit the baseball a little bit better. In fact, he's got currently a 6-game hitting streak in the minors, but he has reached base every single game so far. You start to see a little bit more of the pop. He's had a couple home runs now since he's been down there, starting to hit extra base hits, but still not striking out a ton, still drawing a lot of walks. His on base percentage right now in Round Rock is .371. So you're talking about getting on base consistently, and if Texas feels like
big help,
they need the help and can bring him up again. His OPS right now in AAA is right around 800. So, and
that's not bad.
That's when it was originally like 410. Yeah. Remember, for the first five, six games.
Hit at all.
So that fact is encouraging right now that Evan Carter, it looks like, is at least settling down a little bit.
Real quick, Blue Jays pitcher Kevin Gossman threw 53 pitches in an inning. In an inning.
Ew.
Over the weekend. He was Rich Harden-like. He was thrown out of the game, but you can't have a guy throwing 53 pitches.
No, not in today's game.
I mean, 25 pitches in an inning. They're having somebody warm up, and you're gone basically at 40. Maybe you get to you're in the same batter. You get to 43, but
yeah, I feel like if I see 53 pitches
in an inning,
if I found out if you threw 30 pitches in an inning, I'm like, yeah, you're out. Just because at that point, if you've thrown that many pitches,
you're giving up a lot of runs.
You're clearly just not getting anybody
out. Now, I get it. It's early on in the game. It was the third inning. So they want to burn a bullpen and have screw it up. But man, I mean, that's tough. That's tough. All right. That's Diamond Cavs here on 105.3 The Fan. Best to worst of the weekend coming up in the commercial free expressway. We have a Renegades ticket giveaway coming up in the expressway. And we have a special guest next.
We have the godfather of NFL draft coverage.
All about the tuna.
That's right. All about the tuna. The one and only Brian Broaddus joins us next on 105.3 The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Good morning, DFW. It is Sean and RJ here on 105 through the Phantom. RJ Choppy. He's Bobby Belt, Peyton, and Aiden alongside it's Sean and RJ. Sean is on paternity leave. Final week of that. He'll be back next week.
Allegedly.
We will be in Anna on Wednesday as the Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour rolls on.
Yep. So Anna is the only fire station in Anna. So it's 305 South Powell Parkway, Anna, Texas. But if you just look up where is the fire station in Anna, you'll find it there. And we'll have a Whataburger breakfast for you, as well as special edition Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour baseball caps. And they're going to go fast. So you're going to want to come out to 305 South Powell Parkway in Anna, Texas on Wednesday from 6 to 10 a.m. And thank you to Whataburger, Firehouse Eating in there, and Firehouse Movers.
All right, that's on Wednesday. So Firehouse Tour. We are also the home of the NFL draft. We had it, you know, this weekend.
We did.
On the Fan. Had, you know, the obviously big day at Pluckers on Thursday for the first round. And then you get into later rounds and, you know, there was some coverage and Zach Wolchuk was on the broadcast.
He was, and
we have the guests. We have every player, right?
Yeah, every player comes on usually within 10 minutes of being picked. They're on the air with
That's
us.
Cool.
And I was not on Saturday after I woke up with what felt like razor blades going through my intestines. And so I was really disappointed I was not on.
You sound like you need a shot of penicillin.
I was really disappointed I was not on just for this moment of Zach Wolchuk interviewing 7th-round defensive tackle Jay Toya.
All right, Jay, so can we teach the entire defensive front the haka and make sure we do this every pregame?
I mean, I'm not a haka specialist. You know, that's more like Marins. You know, I'm Tongan, so I'm not really a haka specialist. But I think we could try.
We can try. Well, we appreciate you taking some time. All right, Jay Toya joining us here on the
boom, 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 boom. Put the camera on.
What are we doing?
If your brother's a rugby player in New Zealand,
he ain't gonna stab myself.
How are you not?
It doesn't mean he knows how to do it.
I get, okay, well, if you're
down,
we need your brother. Crazy.
I dare you to walk up to him.
I will. I'll do it in Oxnard, sir.
Break down and start to.
Is that racist?
No, not at all. You literally does it before every game.
That's racist, bro.
How?
That's racist, bro.
I'm Tongan, bro.
They all the same. They all do that little dance. Hey, Jay, why don't you do that little dance y'all do?
You gotta step out. I'm serious.
What's that thing y'all do? The haka? Do that haka.
That was not good.
Oh, gosh, Zach Wolchuk. And joining us now is the godfather of draft coverage, who was also having trouble keeping it together during that moment. Brian Broaddus. Brian, how are you? And how embarrassed was Zach after that?
I still have tears in my eyes from laughing about that whole situation. But, you know, it's funny when, you know, you're interviewing these kids and you're trying just to, like, not ask them a bunch of X's and O's questions. You're like, oh, well, how do you see your fit? What's in your mind? All that, you know. And Zach was just trying. I mean, he was just trying to kind of draw the kid into some conversation. And his, well, I'm Tongan. We don't, you know, and it just, it was a fun moment, a funny moment, put it that way, because, you know, you're in the seventh round. It's getting, I mean, it's been, you know, 18 hours of coverage and stuff, but that one will always live in draft show history for sure.
Yeah, I know Zach. I didn't get a chance to talk to him on Saturday, but knowing Zach, I know Zach went home and probably has not spent 1 second not thinking about this. He's probably just dwelled on it the entire time and been eaten up by it. All right, Brian, we get through the draft and a lot of really good value that the Cowboys got across the board. Mm-hmm. Maybe didn't address your biggest needs in a timely mm-hmm. manner that people wanted. You didn't get a wide receiver two at all. You waited till the fifth to get a running back. But overall, when you look at the draft class that they got, the players that they got, how do you evaluate the haul that the Cowboys got over the weekend?
Yeah, I really do appreciate you retweeting the clip I had, the question I asked Ross Winchie, you know, the national scout for the Cowboys. And it appeared to me they really set their board up not thinking about needs. They set their board up, to reflect the players that they liked. And they picked their board is what they did. And it's funny, I know on my particular stack of the 235 players that I studied, I had it in reverse order. Their third round player was my best player. Their second round player was my next best player. And the player that they took first was the third best player. So it was the way, you know, if you could get in, just on my evaluation, if you could get three players in the first 37 picks, you know, that tells me a lot right there. And I really do believe that they, you know, I think we're all a little guilty, guys, leading up to the draft. And I'm talking about the media and maybe even the national media as well. We were talking about receiver, you know, Golden, McMillan, Abuka, Golden, Million, you know, and we were just kept talking about receiver. And they were just sitting there looking at their board going, okay, when we set this thing up, you know, there was obviously a gap between McMillan and Golden and their stack. There obviously was. You know, we all believe, well, they're just going to pivot. Once they lose McMillan, they're going to pivot to Golden. And we'll see. History will see if they were right or wrong. But they clearly had players. And I know the couple of days up leading the draft, I was trying to, like, kind of talk through. And, you know, when Jerry Jones came out in that press conference and said, we haven't set our board, that was kind of a clue to me that they were having discussions about where some of these guys were going to fit. And they obviously did an exercise where McMillan was off the board and they said, no, we're comfortable with Booker right here. We're comfortable. You know, they had a gap between their receivers, and the gap happened to be one of the players that they drafted. So I give them credit. I always, you know, you always want them to draft the board. Take the stack, don't jump tags, take the players you want, and then fill in the pieces later as you go along.
Do teams, like, manipulate their board at times? Is that a philosophy that happens?
Yeah, that happens. I mean, there's a couple of times where, if you remember even the Jerry Jones when Johnny Manziel was on the board, and Jerry was trying to manipulate the board, and Steven and Jason Garrett and Will McClay wouldn't let him do it. You know, Jerry, we lose Ryan Shazier. Jerry reminds the room that, oh, well, hey, Johnny Manziel's still on the board, guys. And everybody's like, no, we got Zach Martin. Zach Martin's the next tag. And so but you get some teams. Unfortunately, Tom Siskowski lost his job. Because of, if you go back to the Sharif Floyd draft where they had him in the, you know, the top five on their board, and all of a sudden, you know, Rod Marinelli comes in and goes, well, I don't like him in the top five. And now there's a little bit of that chaos there. And so you're kind of having to move around. So, teams do kind of say, well, maybe we need to go do this now. Maybe we need to do that. And unfortunately that's just like window dressing your board. And to me, that's just not the best way to operate.
Brian, do you think it's also just a function of the fact that they didn't get the wide receiver too, as a function of just the way things fell ahead of them? So, like, if McMillan is there at 12, they take McMillan. If Burden is there at 44, they probably take Burden. And yeah. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe if they get to 76, I don't know how much they liked Trey Harris or Jack Besh, but maybe Besh or Harris make them, it's close enough to Revel that they go, okay, well, that's a need enough, and we have them graded closely enough that we can go that direction. Do you think it's just they were in a kind of no man's land where receivers that they liked in that range were getting picked off, and so the next one, if they would have taken them there, they would have really been jumping their board?
Yeah, no, I think they might have had, I think they might have had the receivers that you're talking about in position to take. And you're a little bit at the mercy of the draft at that point in time. Now, you know, they really didn't have the capital to be able to say, listen, we're about to lose one of these receivers and we need to go get one. You know, they were, you know, without that fourth round pick and their unwillingness to give up their third round pick. It, like I said, that was the 11th best player on my board. So yeah. I applaud them for not moving and giving up that, you know, for they could have very easily given up that third and gotten back and moved up and grabbed one of those wide receivers. But I kind of had an idea, Bobby, and we talked about it on the G-Bag Nation, that they were going to come and tell us that, hey, one of these receivers, where it's Mingo, you know, with Tolbert, one of these guys that got to step up. I think they still have a plan for trying to go and grab a receiver. I really do, whether it's in free agency, you know, there's maybe some avenues they can go there, and maybe even to trade for some of next year's capital can go get him a receiver. So I don't think they're done with trying to grab a guy right now.
Trade another fourth.
Yeah.
Why, every year now anyway.
That's what we do.
Trade another fourth round pick.
We trade the fourth. That's what we do. I, Brian, when I look at this, though, we talk about, there were a lot of people who said it wasn't a needs draft. It wasn't a needs draft. But it is interesting when you look at, you get Booker at right guard. You get Ezeraku at edge. Revel at corner. Blue at running back. And you look down the list. I think there's a case to be made that your top four picks, and then maybe Toya, and maybe even James, I don't know if things go a certain way, you could have five or six of these guys start games for you next year, potentially.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. To me, the fact that, like I said, I in my heart of hearts, I knew if they liked Booker, then, or they were thinking about maybe moving Banks, you know, that kind of thing. If they drafted Banks and they were going to move, that would have been a good pick. Does it fill something they could have used? Yeah. I mean, Booker's going to come in and start, you know, I mean, that's just the way that's going to be over there. I mean, no offense to Brock Hoffman, but Brock Hoffman for 5 to 6 games is fine. Brock Hoffman for 17 games is not fine. So Booker comes in and will fill that role and probably fill it at a very high level. But yeah, every one of the picks, the Revel pick at corner, you know, him working with Britt Brown, getting back on the field very soon will help everything.
Broadus, what is your take on, because I saw a lot of people say that, you know, taking a guard at 12 is not great value. I think it's, I have no problem with it. I think, you know, you shore up the interior, you shore up any offensive line position. I'm all about it. Where do you stand on that? Is that bad value?
I'm just about taking good players. I'm from the school of, I would have taken, you know, everybody was talking about you can't take Ashton Jeanty at 12. You can't take a running back at 12. Yeah, you can if he's the second best player in your stack. I had Hunter number one and Ashton Jeanty number two. My job is to take players, to take the best players. You know, people talk about positional value and all that stuff like that. You know, you will find, if you're good enough at this, you will find other players to supplement your team. That's your job. But your job, number one, line one, is to be able to take the best players. Taking a guard at that spot, I have no problem with that. I'm just trying to stack my players and the best players to the least. And whatever number I have on that board, those are the guys I want to take, and I should be comfortable with that. And I don't think, you know, people talk about that all the time, positional value stuff, and it's the metrics thing and all that. You know, play one of these games without a runner and see how that goes. You know, try not to, in your division, don't block Philadelphia's one techniques or the Giants' one technique or the Commanders' one technique. Don't block those guys and see how well you play. Is it positional value if you can't block those guys? Because you're saying, oh, wait, we can't take one of those guys. We can't have one of the best guys at that position blocking that guy. No, that's ridiculous to me.
Brian, and Brian Broaddus joins us here on 105 Through the Fan. We talked a lot Friday morning about Tyler Booker, so the listeners have heard a lot about him. For those who don't follow along with the draft show, don't listen to the coverage, and this is the first time, all right, I'm getting a chance to hear about the new guys they got. Let's run down the list a little bit and get your thoughts on some of the primary guys. Let's start with Donovan Ezeraku, the edge rusher from Boston College, a guy who, I mean, this is a legitimate, I think a lot of people felt like borderline first-round player that is going to get after the quarterback. This guy wins a lot.
He wins a lot, and he knows how to bend. You know, there was in this draft, there were some bendy guys, and there were some guys that kind of were better run defenders. This guy can legitimately rush the passer. This guy is one of those, the first step, that able to get attack. He puts a lot of pressure on offensive tackles because his ability to play really, really low and dip, and then he knows how to finish at the quarterback. And they move this guy around a ton. This is very similar to how the Cowboys will play with Micah Parsons. They'll stand him up over here. They'll put him down over here. They'll make a matchup over here. Boston College did a great job. Tim Lewis did a great job of moving him around in order to make him have opportunities to rush.
Yeah, and you're seeing some of the video up on the fan cam right now of Ezeraku winning against North Carolina. And, man, they used him, like you said, a lot of different ways. They'd line him up on both edges. They'd put him in the A-gap. He's a really fun player, if a little bit undersized, but he's a really fun player. The guy you loved a ton, you've already mentioned, tell us about East Carolina corner Savone, as we found out, Savone Revelle.
Savone Revelle is he was one of my – if he does not have the knee problem or the knee issue, then – he's going to be one of the best corners in this draft. And, you know, at 6'2", the length, the first thing you're going to notice when you see him in person is how long he is as a player. And it serves him very well. He's got really quick feet. He can play with the burst. He's extremely tough. I was watching the Michigan game. They try and run a play down on the goal line to the outside. It bounces to the outside. Edwards is trying to take the ball in. And Revelle meets him at the goal line. And you think, man, a corner with a back at the goal line is a disaster. Yeah, it was a disaster for Michigan because he didn't get in the end zone. This kid is extremely tough. He can rally on routes across the field, down the field. He's a hard guy to run away from. Dr. Cooper did the surgery from the Cowboys. You know he's in good hands there. And Britt Brown's about to grab this kid and really, really kind of take him to another level and get him back on the field very, very soon. So really super excited about the ability and what this kid brings to it.
We talked about a lot of running backs during the draft lead up, Brian, as Brian Broaddus joins us here on 105 Through the Fan. With the fifth round pick, the running back that the Cowboys end up getting is Jaden Blue from Texas, a guy I don't know that we talked about as much. And Aiden's going to throw up some video of Jaden Blue on the fan cam here. But tell us a little bit about your thoughts on Jaden Blue.
Yeah, extremely explosive as a back. He's, you know, you think at 5'9", 196 pounds, he might always a small guy. You know, he is more likely to break tackles the way of avoiding tackles is what he's going to do. You get in him in a one-on-one situation, it is a real problem for the defender. His ability to plant, cut, avoid, the quickness. He's an outstanding pass catcher. There's a couple of backs in this draft, him and Allen from Syracuse, who are outstanding. Smith from SMU, outstanding pass catchers. This kid was one of them. You throw the ball to him in space, it is a nightmare for the defense to have to deal with.
Really quick, Brian, just on the Blue front, because I know Chop is going to have a question for you. You mentioned him as a pass catcher. Absolutely, like a legit mismatch that you can line up at receiver at times.
Absolutely, yep.
There were some issues, and I'm curious if you had any problems with this. Some swing passes he drops. Passes that he'll drop, or he'll he had a ball bounce off his hands against ULM. I think they got picked off, or he doesn't. So when you saw any of that on tape, did you look at that was focus or just some off target stuff that he maybe wasn't totally? What is that? Because you do see definitely some real pop as a pass catcher.
Yeah, but and then you also then you watch the Ohio State game where they swing him a couple of times and he gets two touchdowns as well. So yeah, you know sometimes receivers do have concentration lacks. Maybe the ball, you know, got on him too quick. Maybe he didn't identify where it was. I just see so many times with him, though, not just screen passes, but upfield routes, inside Texas routes. You know, those little out, then inside, quick break, boom, ball on him, and then he's north and south into the end zone. Yeah, you're going to have some of those where you're going to have a couple of them where it could, you know, get on you or you didn't track it the right way. But most of the time, everything that was thrown his direction was reception and resulted into a big play.
Broaddus, is there a team in the NFC East that you thought absolutely nailed it this weekend?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, there was a couple of teams that I really, really liked. I liked what like Jacksonville did, and I liked what, but you're talking about the East. In Philadelphia, they had so many picks, and I think where Philadelphia did some some damage was in the really the second half of the draft, you know, their first round picks. But that's a team that's very, very talent, talent rich. They got some guys that they're going to have, they made decisions on that they're going to move on from. But Philadelphia, to me, the players where they fell for them. I'm just talking about the draft in general too. Kansas City, Baltimore were another couple of teams where it seemed that players, the best players, I know on my stack, those were the ones, but I think Philadelphia helped themselves. I think the Giants absolutely helped themselves. I'm a fan of Jackson Dart myself. I didn't have him over Shedeur Sanders, but right though, both those guys right there in the second round where he was picked, I think he was the 27th best player on my board. So right where he was taken, that's kind of where I felt. But Philadelphia, to me, the Commanders, the division, they picked off, you know, two or three players that are going to be factors in this year's season.
Last one before we let you go, Broadus, we've got a lot of people obviously who are curious about Shedeur Sanders. What did you think about him as a player and in general, your perception of his fall to the fifth round?
Yeah, I think it was unfortunate. I don't quite understand it from my perspective. I know on my board, I had him as the 20th best player. I had 15 first round grades. So that means that put him in the second round where I would have had him or been comfortable selecting him. So, you know, maybe on some other drafts, he's a little bit further down or maybe he's a little bit higher. But yeah, the thing that, you know, teams might not have liked talking to him in a way of they put him on the board. Maybe they didn't feel like that. They didn't feel very comfortable that he was able to process the information that they were asking him to do. He had a pro coach that was working with him, you know, at Colorado, Pat Shurmur. So there's some elements of the pro game that you watch Shedeur Sanders, you know, attempt to do and been able to be successful doing it. So I think, you know, sometimes teams just don't like players. Maybe he came off bad in the interviews. There's a lot of talk about that. Maybe they put him on the board. They didn't think he was smart enough. You know, some teams, maybe they'll do, teams will do different things to kind of get an idea about these quarterbacks. But it's very surprising to me, especially where I had him on my stack, how far he did fall. I think Cleveland got a hell of a quarterback. I personally had him over Dylan Gabriel, who I think Dylan Gabriel's a fine quarterback. But if you watch the tape, to me, the plays that Sanders makes off platform, throwing to his left, there's some things you're going to have to clean up with the feet and stuff, but they'll find a way to get that done.
Thank you, Broadus. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Take care. Have a great day.
Brian Broadus, G-Bag Nation, right here, 105.3 The Fan.
Do you think Brian knows how to? We should ask Brian if he knows how to do the haka.
No. Mean,
he doesn't. He doesn't have a brother that plays in New Zealand, though.
No, so. He does not have a brother that plays in New Zealand. It is the commercial-free expressway, and this portion of the expressway is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Plano as we hook you up.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Right now, caller number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a four-pack of tickets to see the Arlington Renegades when they take on the Michigan Panthers Saturday, May 10th at Choctaw Stadium in Arlington. That's caller number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Just saw on the news, looks like I-30 at Horizon is like completely shut down.
Jeez.
It looks pretty bad. So if you're already in it, I'm sorry. And if you're not yet in it,
Avoid it.
I couldn't find out what direction it was in. It was heading, but just know it looks really, really bad. Looks really, really bad.
I-30 often does.
Yeah, it often does. All right, it's time to tell you about our weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
I'm having a bad fucking weekend.
This is not just a best and worst of the weekend. This is a best and worst of the honeymoon.
Well, yeah, we can.
This is really an RJ Choppy segment.
I've got an hour that I could talk about. I'll literally do a best and worst here, and maybe tell you more at another time.
What was the big highlight from the trip? At least, what would you say was the what's the headline if coming out of this trip?
The headline coming
still
out.
Married?
We're still married. Yes, good. We're still married.
Good
absolutely,
news.
That's great news. Absolutely. Literally, I'll do a literal best and worst. A literal best and worst. And I'll do with the worst.
Okay.
I was rejected with great prejudice from getting into the Roman Colosseum.
Okay, is that something you can just go, like, check out? Or did you try to sneak in there?
No. So they have tours set up.
Uh-huh.
You go in. You go underneath. you know, like where the gladiators, where they kept the lions.
Pretty badass.
Awesome. You go in, you do a full tour of that, the Roman Forum, all of ancient Rome. The Emperor Palpatine's, or not Emperor Palpatine's from Star
Emperor
Wars.
Emperor Palpatine?
Yeah. Palpatine. No. Some Palatine, Palatino Hill or something like that, right? You could do all that. We buy the tickets, okay? We had them. And they say, you know, make sure you bring your travel documents with you. I'm like, all right, I'll bring my travel documents with me. We go down there, and we're on the tour. First of all, it's not set up. Like, Italy is very kind of, they're on their own time. They're on their own time. Like, Switzerland, everybody is bam, bam, bam. Mm-hmm. Everything is on time. If the train says it's leaving at 7:13, it's leaving at 7:13. If the train in Italy says it's leaving at 7:13, you might leave by 7:30. Like, you just don't know. Like, there's no rhyme or reason to it. But we get on this tour, and it's really a pain in the butt to kind of, like, figure out where your tour is. There's 500 people there trying to find 10 tour guides. You find them. You know, they hand you your little headset so they can you can hear them. And we're walking towards...
How like distracting is that, by the way?
It's very distracting.
Like, I gotta imagine that's
the tours, like, some of the tours are great, some were pretty like eh. But so the Roman Colosseum tour was gonna be great, you know. But it had the headset, which I didn't love, but it was like, you know, if you got close to the tour guide, you could hear what he was saying.
Mm-hmm. I was there, it was good.
Yeah.
It was great.
So we get down towards the Colosseum, we're in line and we're going up, and they call your name. And then they let you get in. So you hand them your ticket, which is on a printed piece of paper. And then you hand them your passport or some kind of travel document.
Sure.
And they said, no, you can't get in. I'm like, why not? And they said, because it says RJ on the ticket, and on your passport, it says Ralph.
No.
Yeah. And I was like, but that's my name. I was like, this is, you got the TSA here. You know, it's not, I'm not getting on an airplane.
What is your signature?
RJ Choppy. Yeah, just
is it
RJ.
On? Is it on? I don't have a passport, so I don't know. It's on.
My signature is RJ on my driver's license. It's RJ.
Then what is their issue? That matches the ticket. Then
it matches. It matches. And then he goes, "Do you have any legal document that says RJ?" And I'm like, "No. I mean, like, this is my name. I know it says Ralph James on my passport." But I said to him, I says, can you see how we got to the R and the J here? I felt like Nate Bargatze.
I was going
to
say, Nate Bargatze has a bit just like this.
How we got there with this? And he goes, do you have anything that says RJ Choppy? I says, I pulled a curtsy. I said, yeah, Google me. I said, yeah, Google me. I was getting so upset.
Oh my gosh. I
never play that card, ever.
Google me.
I was so upset. I was, because this is the whole... Like, this was like the, I was looking, this is the last day we were in Italy. Like, that was our last day. I was so looking forward to this. It's 3:00 in the afternoon. It's hotter than balls. And I am just, it was so hot. And I was so excited to get in here. Sarah's able to get in. Everyone else is able to get in. And they're like, you can't get in here. Like, your names don't match. I says, dude, seriously, like, look at this. Like make some common sense out of this. He goes, I get it. I agree with you. But if they get inside and they check, I'm going to get in trouble for it.
I don't understand, though. If your signature on the passport is RJ Choppy, that matches then.
Yeah, I don't know.
So why does that?
They were like, it doesn't match your name. So they wouldn't let me in. And my day was ruined. Ruined. I was so looking forward to this. That's all I wanted to see. I didn't care about Florence. I didn't care about Desenzano, Del Garda. I didn't care about Zurich going over. Now, after I've been there, I love them all. But, like, this is what I wanted to see.
Did you, be honest, you said Google me. But did you say, I feel like you punctuated with a Google me B.
No.
Google me.
And they were like half joking when I said it, so they didn't like.
No, you weren't. You were 100% serious.
No. I wasn't gonna force them to do it. Like, they didn't do it, obviously.
But it was a legitimate suggestion. Like, Google turn up some results, bro.
Yeah, Google turn up some results, man. So just do that. Now they didn't, and I was like, fine, whatever. So I told Sarah, I was like, go on in. She goes, do you want me to come in and go in and take videos? And I said, I could see a video online, but we already paid for you, so go on in.
She didn't go. We handed the...
So she offered you a custom vid.
She offered me a custom vid, yeah. But...
What did you do when she went in? Like, what
she
were
didn't
you?
Go in. No, she didn't
oh,
go
she
in.
Didn't, she skipped
she was
it.
Like, I'm not going to go in. So we handed her... I took the headset off, put it in the bag, and we left. And then we kind of did our own walking tour of ancient Rome. I was so disappointed, man. That was so... So disappointed.
That would be upsetting. So you did... I don't understand why... Like, does nobody go by nicknames over there?
Dude, if you went there, if you put Bobby Belt in your ticket, they won't let you in.
That's crazy. I don't understand.
I know. Like, it's just not
although
the
I am
TSA.
Concerned, I am concerned about that sometimes. So if I am filling out information for something, I will oftentimes put Robert.
I a lot of times will, too. I just don't... I don't even think... But even when I, like, put my credit card in, it says name on card, I'll still put RJ, and it still goes through.
Yeah. Well, and if your signature is RJ, I like that's what yeah. I'm not
I know.
Fathoming. If your signature is on the official documents as RJ, clearly they see the disconnect.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my worst of the week. And the best is, and there is no doubt, the best shower is the shower after you return from a vacation. It's the first one I feel clean. I don't feel clean showering in a hotel.
Especially one over there.
I know. They're so tiny.
Are they?
They're so small.
Yes.
Oh, you can't turn. I got a bruise on my arm
like
here.
Like short or tight?
Tight. I've got a bruise on my arm here just from banging against the
what was your honeymoon?
The rack, the towel rack.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet, but no, that's the cuz see that's the I always whenever they've shown on movies or whatever, like, because I've clearly never gone overseas, because that requires flying over water, which I won't do. Never going to fly over
you
water.
At 8:20, I'll get into more of some of this. I've got such detail. You'll be fine.
Yeah, I don't know. Flying over water's just never been a thing for me. But I've always, whenever I've seen on a movie a shower represented overseas, it is always like, it feels like they assume everybody's 5'5 and weighs maybe 110 pounds.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Because everybody is 5'5 that weighs 110 pounds over there.
Like, you can't wash your legs in that shower. There's no way.
You can't.
The soap has to run down.
Yes.
Now, how long was your flight back?
12 hours.
12 hours. And you did this when you called me when you landed, because you're like, hey, a little behind on the email, because you did a 12-hour flight with no internet on the plane.
The internet, yeah, the internet. I tried to buy it.
Oh,
nothing.
My God.
It was like $39 to buy it. I tried to buy it, and it said it can't retrieve the card. The signal was not working. So we had downloaded like TV shows.
Is it because your card says Ralph and you were RJ?
Probably. Probably.
That's probably what that was.
But I'm not gonna crap on the flight. The flight was great. And like I said, I got plenty on this to get to.
12 hours. Man, that seems ridiculous. Peyton, what'd you get into this weekend?
So I got the green light from McKenzie that in our new house,
I
can make a man cave out of the one of the rooms.
Oh, baby.
I thought you were going to say something
else. No,
oh,
not
baby.
Yet, not yet. Maybe a few months from now. But, yeah. Yeah, so we have, because we moved into a house right now. You know, it's a master bedroom and then three rooms.
Primary, you know? Primary suite, Peyton.
Oh, right. Master, whatever. And so one of the rooms, we're trying to figure out what do we need to do in these rooms. One, we have a guest room. The other one is going to be like her room. You know, like she has like a makeup desk and everything like that. And then I was like, well, what do we do with this room? And then I said, well, let's make it a man cave. And so we moved a couch in there this weekend. I have my TV, PlayStation set up. I have bobbleheads all over the place, some paintings. And here we go, baby.
What kind of soft operation are you running over there, Peyton?
Why is it soft?
Because you just already told me one of the rooms is already devoted exclusively to Mackenzie's things. And you needed a green light to get a man cave?
No, that was just
that's
separate.
A fair point.
That
should have just been established
no,
for the
that
job.
Was, that was that, separate from
hey,
the...
Hey, this is my room. This is my territory.
Well, it had always been talked about, but then finally it was the big thing was, you know, we put stuff in the room now. You know, we had the extra room, and so I was like, well, let me just make this my room for now until, you know, maybe kids down the road.
So what are the what is the man cave going to consist of? Is this just going to be like some furniture and a TV, or are you going to like really deck it out?
I mean, I have some pictures of like, you know, sports stuff like that. So I'll put that up in there. I have bobbleheads. I'll have a mini fridge that I'll throw in there as well. I have my own closets, you know, there's a door connected to the bathroom, so I don't ever have to leave there. But yeah, you know, I'll try and deck it out. I'll have to put something in there. I've never had like a man cave before.
And it's cool. You know, I don't know that how often you'll use it. That's the problem. Like
you don't think that'll be my go-to?
I never use mine, ever. It's upstairs. I go upstairs once a month.
Gosh, if I
that's just to clean the toilet that's up there. I literally never use it.
If I just had extra space, just another room to go do my prep in, I would use it every day for that. Just because when I'm sitting at the dining room table to do it, I'm going to get chatted up by everybody in the house about something. And it's just like, guys, I gotta focus. I can't even focus right now.
Fortunately, like when I'm doing like my prep work, like nobody's home. Yeah. It's during the day and I don't have to worry about that. So I could either choose the kitchen table or the couch, or I have an office, but it's, you know, either way. Good for you, Peyton.
Thank you.
Good job.
You. You'll enjoy it. If you get something out of it, get use out of it. That's my problem. I never got, and I still never get any use out of it.
469 Peyton, you should have just walked in and tinkled in the corner to mark your territory. No permission needed.
It's Sean and RJ 105.3. I did that one day at my parents' house. I woke up in the middle of the night and just went in the corner. Thought I was in the bathroom. Thought I was in the bathroom. I was sleep urinating. Has society become too mean or too sensitive? Let's look at it through the lens of Shador Sanders. That's next on 105.3 The Fan.